I was as a software engineer for a couple of years before I made this transition of becoming a full-time artist and an entrepreneur. My journey as an artist I wasn't always an artist.
ಹಾಯ್ ಗಾಯ್ಸ್, ಎಲ್ರಿಗೂ ನಮಸ್ಕಾರ. ನಾನು ನೇತ್ರಾ, ನೀವು ಕೇಳ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನೇತ್ರಾಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಶೋ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ಟು ಮೈ ಪಾಡ್ಕಾಸ್ಟ್. Hey everyone, how are you all? And this is Netra and you're listening to the Netra's Talk Show. And today we have an amazing person. She is a very, very, very cute and also a computer science engineer who makes mandala art and also adorable illustrator of Ganpat Rao and Gajalakshmi. She is Miss Compose Hands herself and Sangeeta Prayag. I welcome you, Sangeeta, to my YouTube channel and also to the podcast.
Thank you, Mitra. So happy to be here.
Okay, so I know who you are, but our audience doesn't know. Okay, so I want to start our first question, like to introduce you, and we want your introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Okay. So as Neta said, I'm Sangeeta Prera. I'm actually a computer science engineer. I graduated and I worked as a software engineer for a couple of years before I made this transition of becoming a full-time artist and an entrepreneur. My journey as an artist I wasn't always an artist. I wasn't drawing when I was a kid. Like, I hear most of the stories of artists, like, they've been drawing all their life, but that's not the same with me. I started my journey after finishing my master's, and when I started working full-time as a software engineer, that's when I actually started my, drawing and diving into mandala, and it's been a great journey so far. And in between, I realized that I want to also talk about my mental health and basically want to talk about my own experiences with my struggles with mental health. And that's when I brought my character, which thankfully became super popular, known as Ganpat Rao and his girlfriend Gajalakshmi. So yeah, that's me. I am a mandala artist and I draw baby elephants for a living.
Okay, that's very cute. And I'm surprised that you are a computer science engineer, and even I am a computer science engineer. We do other than everything. We do engineering and we do everything other than that in the life.
Exactly, yes.
What inspires you? Like, you make a Ganpat Rao and Gajalakshmi characters very cute, and you put in lot of life lessons into it, or the motivation thing. And what makes you do that?
I'll start from the time when I was the time when I was in the US. I did my master's in the US, and then I was working there, and I used to live alone. I had my own apartment. I used to live by myself, and I found myself to sometimes feel lonely, feel depressed because, lots of reasons. And I was just randomly scrolling through YouTube and I saw this super cute baby elephant video chasing birds. And I thought, oh my God, that brought such a huge smile to my face. And I thought, I wish there was a baby elephant, a therapy elephant out there who I can just go to whenever I felt low. And then I thought maybe I can create one. And that's when I created this therapy baby elephant known as Ganpat Rao. And I thought that he would be wise. Even though he's a baby elephant, he would be wise and talking about all adult stuff, about life and how to live it and traumas and all of that. So it also became a way for me to channel my struggles with mental health, depression. And I think it resonated with a lot of people as well. And when I got engaged, I brought Gajalakshmi as well, Ganpat Rao's girlfriend Gajalakshmi. So sort of my husband is Gajalakshmi here. that's how Gajalakshmi came into picture. And then I used both of them to talk about mainly about mental health and things that I care about, sustainable living or bullying and all of that. And it became a way for me to channel my own emotions. And a lot of people resonated with them as well.
That's so sweet, because you like compare yourself with a Gajalakshmi and your husband with the Ganpat Rao. It's very cute. And how is your husband, like, how he motivates? Because for every artist, I can see, like, the partner or the parents, maybe for us, it might be parents and friends, or maybe for you, it might be the life partner. How their support like matters?
I think it was a huge deal to get their support, right? My parents as well as my husband in this case. I had like all the support I needed when I took this huge decision of wanting to shift my career to an entirely new field which I had not been into ever. It's incredible how much when you get the support you need, you can actually like have the confidence to do whatever you want, right? And take that, like confidently take that direction. So I would say, like, it matters a lot. Thankfully, I'm lucky. I know it's not the case with everyone. I'm privileged to be able to start something new at such a later age. Like, I think I was 27 when I, like, said bye to computer science and shifted to being a full-time illustrator and entrepreneur. So, yeah, I think I wouldn't have been able to do it without their support, for sure,
Now all the computer science engineers, because my friends are like, all of them are computer science engineers, and we can all relate to you, because at any point of time we can get the self-realization that we are not into this and we want to do something other than this, right?
Right, yes, yeah.
Okay, and then like I want to know your early part of your life, like how you were kid as a kid, and you did your computer science, you were in the US, and you worked in the company, and were you able to like shift that thing to complete this thing? It requires a lot of like willpower, I can say, or you have to think a lot, because for me, even to change a job, it is like very confusing. I can't even think about it, because what will happen next? What I have to do? And all these confusions will be there. So what is your take on that? Like how you deal with it?
Okay, so I'll be honest. Like, so when I was growing up, we moved a lot of cities because of my dad's profession. We used to move cities and schools and houses every 3 years. So I'm very comfortable with change because it happened so often to me when I was a child. So even when I had to make this shift, like there was something internally telling me that I would be able to do it. I would be good at it. I know that I'm passionate about it. I know I'm passionate about art. I'm passionate about starting my own business. And I always wanted to be my own boss. So I thought, okay, I can do it. And that's why I think it wasn't, of course, there was a lot of planning before I made that shift. It wasn't like an overnight decision. I talked to my parents, I talked to my husband. It wasn't hard for me to dive into the change that was coming. I think it's personally because of how my childhood was and because of so many changes that I'm so comfortable with it. But yeah, it's scary for sure. I wouldn't say that it was easy and I just could do it. Like it was like, I went in and I didn't have any struggles. That's not true. I went in, I saw a lot of rejections. I had failures. I learned a lot. But wherever I am, of course, there's a long way to go. But wherever I am, it's because of all those experiences. So yeah, I'd say if you have a chance and you can do it, are in a place where you can make such a shift, just go for it. Even though it would look a little scary in the beginning, but once you know that you're passionate about it, you dive in and you'll do whatever it takes to become successful in that. career field.
That's a very good take. We all can gain from your experience. And coming to your business, you run a online brand, right? So where you create illustrations, stickers, and the calendars, and also whatever the client has required, you make art out of it. Okay. And I want to know that what if some clients are not happy? Most of them are happy. Yeah. Happy, I know, because of your work. They're very cute. And what if something goes wrong? What if the client is not liking your work, or how do you take the criticism? I can see.
Right. Yeah. So see, criticism is going to be a part of this. You're totally on your own. So you have to. There will be a time where there'll be a client who would not be happy with what you've made, but there's always you can use that to learn something out of it. I try to change my questions to understand what is it that went wrong here and what is it that I can do well. Let's say if it's a product and I sent it to them and they didn't like certain part of it, I take it seriously. I take the feedback very seriously so that I don't make such a mistake, or I make it a little more user-friendly, because I want to make products which can be used by each and every person out there. It shouldn't be something which some part of the population can't use and some can. So I take it very seriously. And when it comes to, let's say, a commissioned work where I'm making something specifically for a client and they didn't like it, I make sure that I make it in phases. So I make a sketch phase and then I make a little flat illustration and then I color it. And then, so I keep taking approval so that I know that I'm going in the right direction. But let's say they weren't happy even once I finish it, I do try to take that criticism by asking them more questions and understanding what is it that I can change it for them. How did I not see the vision that they had, and how did it not match? So I think don't be saddened by criticism is what I would say. Initially, that's what I used to feel, oh my God, oh man, I'm such a loser. I don't understand all of that. But that's not true. That's not how they see you. They trust you, and that's why they hired you to make something for them. Just because the vision didn't match, that doesn't mean that you're a failure. Just take it, change the direction, find the right questions to ask, and then the client and you both will be on the same page, and then you'll feel better about yourself as well.
I see is coming from. Because we have learned the software life cycle, right? So after each and every development, we have to approach the client and then take the permission and then do it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same.
So we can relate so well.
There's always perks of being a computer science engineer. You can find a way to implement it in any career field that you're in.
Yeah, that's nice. And how do you brand the things? What do you do for the promotions, or maybe the reach of the audience? Is it organic, and how do you do it?
So all my marketing so far has been organic. I use my Instagram and other social media profiles to try to market my products.
Mm-hmm.
But as you scale, I think it's a great idea to also try Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of other artists that I follow, they also do it, and I find it to be, of course, there's a lot of learning curve in there. It's not like you can get it in one go. But as much as you can, one can do a lot of organic marketing. Because I talk to a lot of artist friends also, and they're like, I'm so shy about putting out my products and marketing them. It feels like I'm just talking about my products all the time. But that's not true. I know that when I see on my social media some artist that I follow is promoting their products, I've never felt annoyed by it. Maybe sometimes I buy it, sometimes I don't buy it, but I've never felt annoyed, oh my God, stop talking about your product. No, that never was the case. So I think don't be shy about putting out what you've created, what you've made, what you're selling, because people wouldn't magically know that you made something or are selling something. Like, you have to talk about it. So yeah, most like all my marketing has been organic so far, and I think I definitely enjoy it. I like trying different ways. I try humor sometimes. I try just seriously telling them how they can use it, and you know, basically use different marketing strategies to market my products. But yeah, don't be shy. Is what I want to say to people who are listening.
Yeah, so that is one good thing. And I'm very curious because this character is very little bit shown in your Instagram grid, and that exactly looks like you. And and it is Geeta. Geeta, I think, yeah? The lady who is very...
Is it Meena?
Meena, yeah, Meena, sorry. It's Meena.
Yeah.
Who is okay, like yeah. you. You look exactly like her when you are wearing sari.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. I always thought like in the first time when I saw your like grid, yeah. The Insta grid, I saw yeah. it like, oh, yeah. like she made her own illustration. It's so cute. Like when you wear a sari, you have a style, okay? And the audience yeah. who are watching her right now, I think like you don't know her real, like the hairstyle and all, because she's always with a bun and a specs and like little bags and the sari. So yeah. I find it very cute. And what about that character? Is it like which came out of like nowhere, or you had your yourself in the mind and you created her?
Okay, that's like, I'm so glad that you said that she looks like me, although that wasn't the idea. But I've heard it a couple of times that people said that Meena looks like me, which is a huge compliment, I think, because I created this character as a personality that I aspire to be, like this confident, badass woman who can do anything she wants. That's sort of a thing. Like, we all have some inhibitions, self-doubt, and we're like going through it every day. But then I thought, maybe I'll create someone so confident that when I look at her and I'm like, I want to be her. So yeah, it's interesting that she looks like me though. But yeah, I do love wearing saris, and I do have a bun always. Right now I don't have it, but yeah, I usually do. That's my go-to thing. But that's how I created her. Like, basically a badass woman who wears a sari and does incredible things. That's how she was born.
I'm very I just saw your like saris, and they were so good. And after this, I want to know where you took all the saris from.
We'll have
a little girl talk.
Yes.
Okay. And then, like, coming back to the thing where the illustrations. Yeah. Do you have a creative block? When, like, sometimes I go like mad. I don't find any like motivation to do stuff. Like, I lay in my bed. Yeah. I do just the work thing, and I won't be able to create anything. So this happens for me like most of the time. And does it happen to you? And how do you cope with that?
Oh my, it does happen to me way more than what people think. Like, creative block affects you way more than what people would think that it, like, I don't know how to say it, but basically it's bad and it's very frequent. A creative block happens way too many times, and I think previously I had no idea how to deal with it, and I would just be sad and I'd be like, whatever, like I would have ideas. But when I put it on paper, it wouldn't come out as I thought it would. And that is frustrating. But with time, I realized that it happens to almost everyone. And considering the pandemic, right, it's so depressing, and we're all scared, paranoid, what would happen to us, our loved ones. And it's normal to feel like you have no ideas or no motivation or nothing is like working out. And I think during those times, when I started realizing that it's a blog, it's a creative blog, and it's not like anything personally, like it's not personal, and I shouldn't like think that I'm a loser or all of those things. The fact is, when you realize that creative blog, right now I'm in a blog and I should just rest instead of forcing myself to do things, and then when they don't turn out to be how I wanted them to look and get depressed, instead of that, I just doodle random things, right? And I just scribble, or I'll try another medium of art. Like, I'll try watercolors, I'll try, if I can't draw any illustrations, I usually go into mandalas and just like do the repetitive patterns to feel, you know, in the zone and all of that. So yeah, I think the best thing that works is just rest. it out. Don't force yourself to do it when you can't find the motivation.
That's nice. And like you said that when you are sad in the early life, you started doing mandalas, because I've read about it that it is like kind of therapy. And like now you told that when you are having a creative block, you do it and you calm yourself down. So tell us more about mandala art, like how, what it is and how it helps. And
So mandala for me is meditation. That's the kind of meditation that I know. It's to just sit down with certain tools, with a paper and a lot of repetitive patterns, and it just calms me down. And I think that's what it's meant to do, right? And the reason why I picked it up is because someone told me, because you've been feeling so anxious and depressed, why don't you find a sort of like, why don't you find an artwork which would calm you down during those days? Because I used to also live alone. I didn't have anyone to just go to and talk to. So when I picked it up the first time, I wanted to make it perfectly well, but that's not the point of a mandala. The point of a mandala is to be mindful of what you're drawing. Each curve, each line, each circle, everything is done in the zone. Like I'm being very mindful of how my hand's going right now to draw all of that. In that zone, you forget everything else that's going on in your life, and it's just concentrating on that artwork. And which is sort of that is what meditation is, right? When you're just, when you have your eyes closed and you're trying to be in the zone, that's what you're trying to do. And this is like a non-traditional way of meditating, I guess, but it is what it is for me. And during, even when I'm anxious, angry, or any of those emotions that I don't want to really deal with, I usually go back to drawing mandalas and just calm myself down and be more aware of myself and my emotions and where am I right now and all of those things. So to practice mindfulness, I think I'd highly recommend it. Like it also taught me patience. I was so impatient all my life, and like drawing like huge mandalas. I've drawn such huge mandalas, like I would have never imagined when I was a kid that I would be able to do so. Just because it taught me patience. It taught me that, you know, you can be patient to gain whatever you want to achieve. And it's very close to my heart.
that's very cute. And apart from this, apart from like illustrations and apart from like mandala art, what is your hobby? Yeah. How do you spend your day apart from this?
I love watching TV shows. I don't know if it counts as a hobby. I love reading. I read a pretty many books in 2021. Even though that's a habit that just keeps like, it's like on and off sort of a thing. When I'm in the zone, I just read a lot of books. But when I'm like right now, since last 2 months, I haven't read anything. But when I do, I just love it. I've read some amazing books last year, and I've watched amazing TV shows as well. What else? I also like taking care of my plants. So I have a lot of plants in my house, in my balcony, and I like to plant them. I like to take care of them. That's the thing that also calms me. And like during weekends, my focus is on them. They're like little things that I do when I'm not working, I guess. But being a full-time entrepreneur, I think I work all 7 days. Like a con of being a self-employed person. But yeah, when I'm not doing any of these, I like to watch well-written shows and read good books and take care of my plants.
Okay, and we have last couple of questions. Okay, one is regarding like role model, I can say, because you have mentioned her in a lot of your interviews, and I think you take a great inspiration from her, Alicia. And we would like to talk about her. Okay, I see that fangirl expression now.
Yes, I love her, and I've been a fan since so many years. It's the cute stories that she tells in such simple ways, and her products, of course. Like I think most of the artists who turn entrepreneurs look up to her and her products, because I definitely do. Such, and I think I remember that when I just started, like, I started drawing mandalas, and I also wanted to doodle here and there and, like, make little stories about me and my husband as well. And I would, like, I'd look at her stories and, like, will I ever be able to make such cute illustrations ever? Like, oh, my God. And I had a chance to meet her also in 2020, February. She launched her first book, Dearest George, and she was there, and I have a picture with her as well. So, yeah, it was, oh, my gosh, it was amazing to meet her. And I gave her a few of my products as well, and she said they were so cute. So, yeah, that is a moment that I cherish forever. And, yeah, I think you can see, like, I have this huge grin on my face right now because that's how much I love her. And, yeah, I think I'll never not love her, basically. I'll always be. Even if, like, I keep making my own products, I know that, you know, I'll always aspire to be her, you know. Like, and in my initial drawings, you can see a little reflection of her as well. Basically, I like everything cute, and I think that's what I try to do with my drawings as well, like, make them as cute as possible. And that comes from her.
That's very humble, and we would like to we'll try to, like, reach this podcast to her. And the last question is, what keeps you going, and what is your message to the audience, upcoming artists, maybe the audiences who are not artists, like, general life message that you would like to give? And that would be the last question.
I think what keeps me going is that I'm very passionate about what I do, and I think I don't let that passion die is what I would say that keeps me going. And I think a lot of times when I was younger, I would see failures and rejections as, like, this huge bad thing that happened in my life, but that's not true. Now whenever I look at those rejections, I see it as this huge learning experience that I had. So whenever, like, going forward, I know that I don't make those mistakes. And that also, that's what keeps me going as well. To reflect upon my life, to reflect upon my year months, and see what I can learn from them and from those experiences, and what I can achieve in the future. So, yeah, that keeps me going. And I think for all of you who are artists, I would say the same. Like, even if there are a lot of people who have rejected, there'll always be one person who's willing to work with you, want your artwork. Because I've also been there. I've also been there where I thought that no one wants my artwork. But now it's my product, my artwork is in hundreds of houses right now. And like, I would have never thought 2 years ago that's where I would be. So yeah, just use your art as your superpower. I always say this. Like, art is your superpower. Just use it well, and use it to convey the messages that you want to convey. Use it to channel your thoughts, your emotions, anything. Just use it to do all of that, and I think you'll succeed, I guess.
That's very cute of you. And the last thing, how did you felt, like, being on Netra's talk show? And I really had a great time. And to all the audience who are listening to this, I'll put our Instagram, like, link in the description box. You can check it out. You can shop to all her products. They're so cute, and I'm bringing one very soon. And that's it. Sangeeta, how did you felt being on this show?
I'm so happy. It was just a nice evening, nice Sunday evening to talk to you. You're such a sweetheart, though. Like, I'd have to say, you're so patient with me, even though I didn't, like, I wasn't able to, I kept changing the timings and all of that. You're so sweet about it, and, like, talking to you was such great fun, actually. Yeah.
Thank you for being on Netra's talk show, and we all are really happy to have you. And I wish you all the best for your upcoming projects and for your whole brand. And I wish you all the success.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you. Same to you, Netra.
Thank you. And yeah, this was today's episode, and I hope you all enjoyed listening to Miss Compo's Hands, that is Sangeeta. And we are so happy to have you on the show, and you are such a great inspiring personality. I hope you get all the success, and until next time, you people, focus on your life, and if you feel that you are into something, go for it and do it. It's never too late, guys. And yeah, until next time, keep listening to Netra's Talk Show, and see you next time. Bye bye. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೀವು ನನ್ನೊಟ್ಟಿಗೆ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್, ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸ್ಟೋರಿಗಳನ್ನ ಶೇರ್ ಮಾಡೋಕ್ಕೆ ಇಷ್ಟಪಟ್ಟಲ್ಲಿ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರೈಟ್ ಟು ಮೀ ಅಟ್ ಮೈ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಾಗ್ರಾಮ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ರೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಾಟ್ ಶೂಟರ್ ನೇತ್ರಾ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯೆಸ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಲಿಸ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ನೇತ್ರಾಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಶೋ. ಸ್ಟೇ ಟ್ಯೂನ್ಡ್.